Greetings, WGXC listeners. This is Chris Funkhauser, host of Poet Radio here on the station since 2015. And before we proceed to tonight's program, I wanted to take a few moments to remind you that WGXC is now amidst our Winter 2023 Pledge Drive, where we are fundraising to keep independent, live, local, adventurous, atypical radio broadcasting over the FM airwaves and online. We are radio for open ears, a rare thing indeed that we're all very fortunate to have. As always, we are looking for and are in need of sustaining supporters who set up monthly contributions to the station. As you might imagine, it takes a serious amount of capital to maintain all of the transmission technologies used by the station. So please consider becoming one of our highly valued sustaining supporters. The best way to do this is the donate section of WGXC's website, wgxc.org, and go through the process set up there. We'll now head on over to this month's Poet Radio with guest Lainey Brown, recorded in Philadelphia last month at the Wexler Studios at the University of Pennsylvania, engineered by Zach Carduner. Poet Radio, February 2023. Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Poet Radio. This is the February 2023 edition. It's being recorded at Kelly Writer's House at University of Pennsylvania. My guest this afternoon is Lainey Brown. And Lainey Brown is a poet I've known for many years, from the early 90s. In addition to writing poetry, Lainey has written a novel as well as a book of short fiction, a book of moments. She edited an anthology, Forest on Many Stems, Essays on the Poet's Novel. She's also a collagiste. So she's a peripatetic individual, lived in California, the Pacific Northwest, New York, and now resides in Philadelphia, where she works at UPenn on the Maud Poe production team, this online teaching initiative, and with Penn Sound. Today's program, we will be, at very least, hearing from and discussing her latest book, Translation of the Lilies Back into Lists, published last year by Wave Books. And I don't know what else you brought to the table, Lainey, but anything you want to read would be fine with me. How's it going?
Great. I'm happy to be here and to see you again.
I have a number of places that I want to enter into discussion with you on this. I mean, the book is so rich and dense, 200 pages. It was an enormous effort as a piece of writing. Let's go with this. The poems are literally a chronological series of numbered lists. The list form is great, and global history even has its own subgenres, I've come to learn. Often the list poems list places, someone's characteristics, events or activities. All types are, while flexible, really inventories of sorts. In the New York school, Ted Berrigan made numerous list poems I was looking at recently, but I'm not sure I've ever seen a numbered list poem before. And I wonder how you came to this form and numbering the lines.
So I started out with my daily to-do list. I'm a prolific list maker, and that's mostly helpful. But sometimes making the list started to feel cumbersome. And so I came up with this concept that if every day I took my daily to-do list and I translated it into a poem, then I would have not only my list of things to do, but a poem. So what I did was I worked to translate the items on my list line by line so that I don't mention the thing I am to do in the translation, only the thoughts surrounding the thing I am to do.
Oh, wow.
And I also started this book as A Book for the Poet, C.D. Wright, is one in a series of books written for an audience of one, homage texts, I call them, to the poets who from whom I inherited so much. There are several of these books. So this one is for C.D. Wright. And tragically, sadly, she died young, unexpectedly. And I had just begun writing this book. I was maybe a month into it. So it became Elegy. So I was writing a book for her. I hadn't shared it with her yet. I was just beginning. So then it went from translation and homage text and list to Elegy as well.
And that made an impact on the composition?
More so the content.
Did you study with her?
I did, yeah. She was my teacher and mentor, one of my, mentors and friends for decades.
I notice you have books dedicated to Hannah Wiener and Bernadette. And,
right.
And so this is a tribute to your homage to your teachers in certain ways, paying back.
Yeah, whether or not they were formerly my teachers or they were, their work just made mine possible.
I hope some listeners out there might be influenced that, because I think a lot of people make to-do lists, but, how many translate them into poems? That's such a great idea.
I mean, I do think I am influenced by Bernadette Mayer's experiments, in all my experiments, in this concept of the daily is useful. Everything is useful if you don't think of it as an impediment. So it's kind of, how do I turn something that feels like a constriction into something generative?
Take something that's practical and make it impractical.
Yes, definitely.
No dissing on poetry, of course, but let's...
We need to be impractical as well as practical.
That's very good. Very good. Well, that's a good intro to the book. It would be great. Maybe now if you read a few pages.
Sure. So one way that I like to read this book, because it is dated lists, is as in a divination. So for instance, today that we are recording is January 26th. So when I was thinking about which poems to read, I opened this book and I thought, well, let's start on January 26th because it's January 26th and then read forward. So that's kind of the handful
that
I chose. January 26, 2016. What sustains us is often not remembered or ever written. I asked him to repeat some words before bed, permissions to disappear. The prayer knew everyone's worry. She said she didn't mind the snow because it brightened her view. Instead of shoveling a path to the mailbox, stomp. A reminder that I never did trim dead insistence or delete the idiotic. So I've resorted to disambiguation. No, to block one path ahead is an attempt to direct. Every effort beginning now will trudge according to plan. Yet when I look out onto the snow-covered distance, it hurts my eyes. Dissect the word trust. If we were supposed to be unafraid, we would have been born that way. Which words to admit our undreamt worst nightmares? Delicacy which scars breath. Saying little or nothing makes something less true, only when I wish I could simply say, we will be all right. Knowing full well that to grow up too slowly is another sort of casualty. Not wanting to be born, crying upon separation, ignoring one's gifts, moving so slowly so as to freeze in place certain possibilities. Skin may be translucent, but thought is not. Come here and tell me everything. The type of love one may never put down, even when lapsing in consciousness, regardless of the words of the prayer. A mother worries her son will come home in a body bag. What did I say in response? I was so young. I had not yet been assembled. What you never put down is the promise of being alive. When lacking a schedule, one makes pacts with oneself. The post office is a tempting excavation. The series of sentences which must be written have yet to be discovered. Is a writer then an explorer who sets out in search of sentences? Once found, is a name a flag? But the place one must go to retrieve the unwritten is a non-place. At first, the corner of my left eye began to aspirate, and then I knew the impossibility of a non-moving background. January 28th, 2016. My dreams were unimaginable, uncertain of themselves. Outside is still blinding white. Form breaks thought from churlish prose. I curled my toes away from dream. It curdled. I was sick and mad and changed the ways I would respond in waking life. I'd never before dreamed this distance between what would never occur and what had never occurred. The distance was a lack of charm. A thoughtful person would not visit this single-track sitting room. I'm behind in reading headlines, not headlines, but near lines. One eye told the other eye, and so on. But how am I supposed to deal with the fallout from my unconscious? The imaginary damage I've done is severe. I never meant to fall into prevarication, but my psyche was an accessible puddle, an indiscriminate and magnetic region of every morning. Behaving differently, you might be someone else, an author of problems, not the ones you suspect. The narrative of one family member attends is the unlikely yoke of another. Raised in the same middle distance, not seeing certain streets, but instead memories of streets become obligatory animals. The day contained too many moving parts, too many verbal and physical, obstinate, slender tubes. The way she stood on tiptoe, higher and higher, as if to gain perspective, the children continued to talk over her in the classroom. She tried giddiness and flight. One memory is a mammal, and another a living body of water. Thus, the conversation is muddy. Her idea of disagreement was to say nothing while constructing a hidden afterward. When pressed, she said, "You and I are not usually near the trailing edge of a wing." She thought she'd outlined falsehoods, yet they were mostly still loam. She acted as if it were inconvenient, his schedule for dwindling. I could not say this, so I stayed in lockstep. Is that why I dream of paleography? A chill up the side of my body, ending in necrology. When I asked the doctor how to prevent a recurrence, he replied, "Don't be a woman. Don't be your age." My tears were measured in millimeters on small strips of paper. Garments could not protect me, except when I imagined myself lachrymose, invisible lace. January 29, 2016. I'm amazed at everything I cannot say. It used to be nothing, but the unsaid keeps expanding as incapacity comes into greater view. If you aren't listening, you still hear a dead weight in hypotheses. You'd think I would have noticed sooner. The world required does not exist. That's never stoppered you, trying to write directly from skies. Ghosts arriving for visits are not exact in revealing their plans. Write 1 million letters to sound intentions. Riven is right, is revision, is night. Complete a crucial segment of forbidden promise. Take your time to grow up. Mythic cities won't abandon wanderers. My eyes had other ideas, rejecting branches etched into feathery skies. Write the names tentatively to see how they will react. Your head is an object you carry unceasingly between shoulders. Direct transfer of color to windows is precarious shedding of heat. Wrap hesitations in portable stoves and stow incendiary notions. January 31st, 2016. Writing the date at the top of the page, I realize I have forgotten. Yesterday wasn't a number. A falsely dappled or dilapidated conversation was unconsciously part of my failure. I'm still sorry and somewhat shocked at my own animated disbelief. If only the mind would tell us in advance when it means to act, though inaction also would benefit by knowing. An envelope, unopened, placed on top is also a reminder, and what is scribbled on the outside of the envelope. We want to have them over, but days are competitive with absence, and we have yet to build fire from misgivings. It's true the act of truth-telling might suck all the warm air out of the room. Even if beautiful, some promises leave us cold. A friendship began as a way to distract yourself from the remoteness of another. If only you could choose whom to keep at a distance and birds swooping. I wanted to begin this now, while everyone is asleep. Your return address includes a portrait of a wolf because you donated to the wild. He held the book above him in bed as he began to drift. The book waved and wobbled. We'll let him sleep until the hour the sky is drained of breath. He kept options open, always having a backup, as if love were a series of carefully positioned explosives. But the real icon is always a child. I feared the book might fall onto his face, breaking his glasses, or onto mine, disturbing an abstract gravity. I need a mantra so the lovesick may sleep. A list of the names of various stone cottages strewn through the woods. Will I remember what the names potentially indicate years later? Where to inscribe instructions for unborn years? It looked as if we were reading drunk or conducting a sleeping orchestra. She dreamed I sang exophoric songs, crying ribbons of crows and robins. You were alive again. I wanted to slip beyond the mishap of falling things, lights, lives, letters.
It's always so great to hear someone read poems after having been reading the poems. I really learned so much from that, but also, of course, learned from, you know, dialogues. For instance, the dialogue that we were having before your reading, you were talking about the process of making lists. And so at the beginning of you reading the poems, I was like, I wonder what that list point was. It was like trying to decode mm-hmm. your translation or translate your list, but quickly gave up on that. But still, it's like, now that I know that, how could I not wonder? But it almost seems like you had to have these lists, the sort of domestic lists, but then you vamp on them. It didn't seem like, you know, one thing led to another, but it wasn't necessarily on the list, or the original list. Is that right?
I think when I started out, there was a more one-to-one exact relationship, but like with any invented process or prompt, I feel like the point is to get started and see what happens. And in this case, I felt like the items on my list were not only domestic details, but they could be enormous metaphysical questions or unanswerable, impossible things that I want to do. And then the thoughts that arose might be longer than one line, and additional thoughts might just come into play so that the list became in a kind of an accordion form.
It almost stops being a list at a certain point, especially, I mean, I notice you're not reading the numbers, because right. The numbers really got my attention, just because it was kind of unique. But when you come to read the poems, you're not saying one, two. And I understand that. It kind of just takes up space and, you know, breaks up a kind of like the poetic lines in a way, right? It might interfere with that. But I would like to keep talking about the form, if you don't mind, go a little further into it. In the form of the book, you divide the book into distinct sections. Each one has its own collage and a kind of italicized epigraphic statement at the start. And the poems are sequenced chronologically, you know, dated over 5 months' time or so, mm-hmm. 5 or 6 months. So I'm wondering how the particular phases. I think there are phases in my reading of the book, like the beginning, maybe a more capacious, speculative, and then it kind of grows towards something more declarative or definitive in a way. I don't know if there's any. Anyway, I was asking about the phases of the book, how they came to be.
So the first phase was I just, every day from the early December until late May, I wrote one or more of these. So like you'll notice some of them, there's more than one. There were a lot more. This book was maybe 50 or 60 pages longer. So the first page was I was just writing every day these lists. Then when I started to make it into a book, when I was working with Wave particularly, I also realized that I had made a number of collages at the same time I was writing the work. So I've had this collage practice forever, but I've pretty much kept it secret and also separate from my writing until I wrote a collage novel that's not yet published. But putting that together made me think about, well, what if I were to put collages into this book? And then working with Wave, I thought, oh, well, it is also a day book. It is also, there's a movement from winter to spring. There's months. What if we had one collage for every month and integrated that into the design of the book? So all of that happened later. And the collages are color. In this book, they're black and white. But I think that the press did an amazing job with the design.
And the graphics.
Yeah.
And how did the epigraphs fit in, if you don't mind?
Oh, yeah. The epigraphs, once we had decided to include a collage every month and that would kind of punctuate the book and, you know, provide a break in between months, I wanted to have a little phrase that was pulled out from sometime during that month that was coupled with a collage. So the collages all have titles that are different. They appear in the end of the book. And I just pulled these phrases as just kind of a pause to have an image and a tiny bit of text, partially because there's so many words in the book. It's useful, I think, to have it broken up a little bit. And that's also why I edited out many of the lists that didn't appear in the book, which generally my process involves a lot of cutting, a tremendous amount of generating too much, and then kind of a cutting and arranging.
The linearity to this, they start on a certain date and you go to a certain date and you have all the numbers. It seems very purposeful somehow. But here you're laying it out. This is the beginning. These are, you know, there's almost like a guide, a roadmap of how to read it. But I don't think that's true. I think someone could dip into the book and find anything anywhere. Mm-hmm. But as the author, you're really very straightforward and onward.
Maybe because the content is not at all straightforward. I mean, it's really a lot about bafflement and trying to grasp mortality, which is impossible, and loss and love and all these big questions, kids growing up, you know, change. So I feel like often I'll turn to form is to have some kind of structure and container for myself to keep track. I feel like the numbers and the days, it gives me a little bit of order with what I'm in. Everything I'm interested in is nothing to do with order. It's impossible to order, but I can write numbers on a page. I can do that. So, yeah.
I had a sort of similar response because you have this orderliness, but then it's like full of non sequitur, mm-hmm. right? So there's almost like a, I don't know, is that an oxymoron between like the appearance and then the actual, you know, you couldn't really read this as linear thought.
No, not at all.
So that's interesting. I mean, so it's like a sort of not a false orderliness, but it's almost arbitrary orderliness.
I mean, in a way, it's survival. You know, how do you live through the immediate days after someone you love dies? How do you live through your children are grown up? How do you live through that? So, I mean, one thing is to write every day, and you write the date at the top of the page, and you make a list of the thoughts and the things you have to do, and it's and then you translate into a poem. I mean, it's just one way.
But these poems are very ponderous. So that's exactly what that's how it comes off. Mm-hmm. What you just described. I mean, I read some of these lines and I have to go, wow, that sounds so good. What does it mean? Like, she grew up across the street from herself, for example.
Uh-huh.
Okay, that's all right. Does that mean that somebody she knows, and it's just, you know, there's like all kinds of directions you can take a lot of these lines. So it kind of is in a way up to the. I mean, that's with a lot of, you know, most good poets, you have to kind of figure it out yourself. It's a very contemporary way of writing. It's the opposite of didactic, right? You're opening up a door through through the lines. It's deeply complex in the end.
I'm curious what it evokes for the reader. So some of the lines. I remember the item, or I remember she grew up across the street from herself. Like, I remember a specific story, but I'm not really interested in projecting that story onto the reader. I'm interested in what happens in your mind when you read that. And I remember the whole rest of the line, but I'm just curious what happens, you know?
Yeah, for each good. Reader. You know, I almost have to try to embody it personally. What does this mean personally to me? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's happened throughout my reading. We can't help but try to answer some of the questions that you ask. Because at the beginning of the book especially, I noticed there a lot of the list items are questions.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that, of course, opens up the gate to pondering, or whatever you want to call it. You know, how could you read a question and not try to answer it? So this is an engagement with the audience, if you will.
And a lot of the questions are not answerable questions. They're more, well, your life is the answer to the question. So I guess it's an attempt to be with others in the questions.
Mm-hmm. That's great. I know you want to move on to some other material, but maybe we could hear a couple more of the poems. I want to maybe talk with you a little bit more about the collage, but just a little bit. So do you want to read or talk about collage?
You choose.
Read.
Okay. So let's see. I read the last in January, so I'm going to go to the beginning of February. February 2nd, 2016. It costs this much, your walks through peopled textiles. Which drawing to attach? Is blue nudity allowed? Spend too much time decoding your tone before replying. What is the potential maximum percentage of affection inside any word? Carrying too many books makes the small suitcase heavy. There seems to be no alternative. A doll shoe? How to avoid hearing the inappropriate non-lingual sounds of one who no longer has access to language. Just because that other version of himself doesn't exist anymore doesn't mean I can stop calling. It used to be a spontaneous act. Your eyes require psychic ironing, and your too many pairs of empty legs will not return by themselves. Premonition is like this, either too long or too late. How many private attempts are required before you agree to the length between your own steps, to the silence between your words? Become a cloaked figure for no particular season, but to enter a newly named guise, a red epoch. I just realized it. I went to January 1st. Apparently, I want to go backwards. Okay.
That's fine.
And I'll just say, yeah, because we want to go forwards, but sometimes we go backwards. That I was talking about mortality and kids growing up, but also my dad. This poem I just read, it's about my dad who had Lewy body dementia for 10 years. He couldn't talk, and he didn't remember who anybody was. And, you know, I was calling him on the phone, and he couldn't talk. So, you know, it's hard.
Yeah.
Anyway, February 1st, 2016, 1. You touched my waist, an arc, near to aggravating silence and absent from anticipated sound, a small, speechless animal drenched in haze. Snow disappears, travels to undisclosed locations. I opened my handheld mind to see where I was the night before. Thoughts are not containable, yet building cities or wastelands of words provides a home, explains obsession with form. A few words on a list can expand exponentially, becoming potentially intrusive. Translation of thoughts or lilies into lists is coping with finitude. I say lilies because the reproductive parts are most delicate. We value our own flowering, and then the bloom of generations. Our continued existence is dependent on this ability to flower. You could say it's metaphorical and also literal. Your flower is the location of your chosen pulse, where you are alive, where you want to continue to live beyond yourself. This is both a poem and a pull-out statement, a way to represent. Poetics are not a fold-out couch, a disappearing train, a combative rhetoric, a proclamation, or prescription. Change and attention are all I can promise. In other words, love. The background of my listening is trying to hear what is being said that isn't yet set. In any coded conversation, you can only hear the language you already understand. And yet you are invited to mess up, not to exclude, not to assume. I was amazed when I heard on the radio a clear, positive statement. Sometimes the act of simply representing oneself seems impossible. We don't want our translations to try too hard, thereby forgetting their bodies. We don't aim to be incomprehensible either. I'm the last to know what I'm doing, for instance, the move that links aesthetic lineage, love, and critical synthesis. She explained the burial ritual by way of Monty Python. Games that make us old, peddling albums, remembering a seasonal flywheel fest. I need to be in contact more, but to whom can I admit it? It being the stress of. It's okay to close your door because we are the most annoying humans ever, but not okay if you hate the world. Attachment to a font is a backward writing by hand. Words visually enwrap the eye. Writing 2015 instead of 2016, the five looked so naked, young, and wrong, which indicates we are now firmly in the new year. A speculative space yet unwritten. Send instructions to friends. Finished, unfinished, delete. Trust these persons to help. Take care of our future, please, the one I won't be here for. Everyone else has known for a long time we are all going to die. Definitely not a coincidence, spirit errands coincide. I feed my familiars in more ways than one. One dependent is not the same as another. I've grown up depending on persons who continue being humans. Departures should not be unexpected, yet I refuse to end that way. February 1st, 2016, 2. Why is waiting always cold? We don't have separate bodies even while we do. Worry dolls hung from mock chandelier. I heard a voice and undressed that voice, an unpretty picture we'd rather not draw, forgetting every awkward stage. My occupation is to wonder, but it doesn't pay. How much space to give another is one pertinent question. How much of this is my business? You could say we are a particularly close family, not knowing how to become ourselves. We have not yet met our futures. If only you'd introduce us to who you plan to be. Messy, untrained lines. I carefully recorded the suggestions for improvement, then deleted them. No one will ever read this, so feel free to write anything. It's a good place to pause, maybe.
I noticed that this program will be airing on February 23rd. So why don't we jump over to February 23rd just for
okay. I didn't reread that one in advance, so who knows what it will be. Let's see. February 23rd, 2016. Every item comes first. Therefore, your head has been subdivided into categories of firsts. First rain, first falling apart. First realization of your inability to sustain any moment. Record faux engagements on petal calendar and secret abbreviations in reptilian book. Forced to escort time, but not to spend it, not to get to know your own whereabouts. First, I held fistfuls as I washed opportune vessels and drove silent bodies affixed to phones. Then, I was forced to carry this partition head, an office mostly given over to pressure. Just when it might be plausible to pay attention, intentions grew cold. I spent my time not feeling worse than I already did. At least I tried to believe that remaining suspect was a benefit. I kept putting off finding one of my missing faces. But this all sounds disastrous, and that's not how you make me feign. It's just that certain days one is beholden, forced to wait. To be sometimes unwell is a symptom of living. White skies had nothing to say to me now. Blankness was still hopeful paper. Maybe it only seems like we're getting nowhere. I copied lines to provide myself a project, sent reminders to sleep and wake to come out of my document. I wrote a summary of what I'd prefer to forget. How much was social and how much miserly? Hiding was unconscious, a protective burrowing. When asked about natural predators, I could only say time.
So many great lines.
Thanks, Chris.
Yeah. And I mean, the last thing I really have to talk about with this book for now anyway is that this is a book of poetry. We mm-hmm. talked about a list poem and whatnot. But going back to some of your prose writing, I was noticing that, I mean, you have a style, a writing style, and this is almost like, even though it's shaped like a poem, it's line after line after line, mm-hmm. is a very prosaic quality mm-hmm. to it. It reminded me of some of your early writings, which kind of surprised me. And then I was realizing that, what is a, paragraph is a list of lines or sentences, or, mm-hmm. There seems to be a relationship between your prose and poetry. That's, I guess, what I wanted to ask you about, and if you had any comments on.
Well, I mean, this book is written, there are a lot of complete sentences.
Yeah.
There are some. I feel like as the book progresses, the lines get shorter and the punctuation disappears. Mm. But still, it seems pretty based in the sentence. So I would say prose poetry, even though there's line breaks. I mean, it's hybrid, right? I don't know what it is. Anybody can say what they think it is, and that's fine with me. But it's true that I always move between prose and poetry, and that I'm somewhat obsessed with these divisions that between genre, like, for instance, what is a poet's novel? I spent a long time on that in this anthology that I edited. And so I am constantly between forms, I guess.
Mm. And the collages, right? What can you do with the collage that you can't do with language? That was my question about the collages.
Oh, well, I can get away from language.
Oh, it's an escape from language.
Yeah, so basically the collage practice began in the moments when I can't bear to be with language or trying to fix, which is not something which I don't recommend, trying to fix a poem, trying to finish something, it's too hard. My first strategy is to start something new. Can't finish this book, start another book. And then I'm working on multiple things at once. But sometimes I just need a break from words. And so I just sit on the floor and rip up books.
Oh, yeah.
So I also get away from the computer, because even if I compose by hand, I'm writing it on the computer.
Sure.
So I'm sitting on the floor ripping up books and looking at images instead of words as a kind of meditation.
I mean, you said you have written a collage novel,
mm-hmm.
but then we can apply affix some sort of identity to an image and almost tell a story through the combination or the ordering or disordering of the images. Is that something that you do?
The relationship between text and image for me and what I'm doing is very new and mystifying, and I have no idea what I'm doing, except that when I was doing the collage novel during COVID, I was simultaneously creating collages and writing prose and putting them together, which is something I've never done before. It's always kept them very separate. So it's a whole new situation.
Right. Well, I think
that I don't have a lot of experience about it, but it's exciting.
I mean, there must be, I haven't spent a lot of time thinking about it, but there must be a lot of different ways one can go about making a collage. And I've tried, and it's a lot harder than you might think, unless there's some data, just random placement, images having relationship to each other, some sort of linearity, or this thing that I just thought of for the first time in hearing you talk about it, which is like actually trying to tell a story, through the collage form. I mean, we know graphic novels. We know that this can be, this can be done.
I don't think I'm deliberately trying to do that, but it always happens. I mean, you look at an image and it's easy to imagine a story, but I'm not doing that when I think I'm just looking at images. I'm just looking at images and seeing what happens. It's very intuitive, I guess you could say.
So have you ever done any sort of ekphrastic writing off of the collages?
I've done ekphrastic writing, but not about my own work.
Well, now we're going to transition to talking, to focusing on Bernadette. But of course, Bernadette did the great tour de force, image to language and sound.
She did it all.
Work. So interesting. You're not following that same kind of trajectory, but there's work here happening with the visual and media realms.
Yeah, I mean, she's inspiring in every way, but I mean, a few of my collage inspirators, what is the word, are Keith Waldrop and Jess and Helen Adam. These are just a few of the collage makers that have inspired me very much for a long time.
Well, that's cool. Thanks so much for taking the time to delve into the translation of The Lilies back into List. I should remind listeners that this is Poet Radio, and Lainey Brown is a guest in February. I recently saw Lainey up in Lenox, Massachusetts. We were at a marathon reading of Bernadette Mayer's book Midwinter Day, sponsored by the St. Rocco's Group from out of Albany. It's incredible to hear an airing of the book, a recitation of it. So I know that you want to devote time now to talking about your connection with Bernadette, reading some of her poems and whatnot.
Thank you. Yeah, Bernadette is very much on my mind, as usual, but even more so since her recent passing on November 22nd. So I thought that I would read one poem from her new book, Milkwood Smithereens, and one poem from a collaborative book that we wrote together, which is called The Complete Works of Apis Mellifera by B. Mayer and Lainey B. And that one is out from Further Other Books. It came out in 2017. And then I just wanted to read a handful of poems that I wrote for Bernadette in recent years, all of them sonnets. The first one, Mother of All Sonnets, is in my book, Amulet Sonnets, which is not yet out, but I finished that a few years ago. And then a handful of sonnets that I've written since Bernadette passed on November 22nd, and now we're in January. So very raw, recent, untested work in my notebook that I've never read before.
Fantastic.
Yeah. So this is From All Sides by Bernadette Mayer in Milkwood Smithereens. Her hands on her hip. She looks maybe down. The window trembles. She looks down while the window trembles. But she's become a tree. Out of her head comes a tree that begins at the roof. Safest place to be is the past.
I love her short poems. She does that sometimes, right? And you're like expecting it to go on and just like blunt stop. Perfect.
Yeah. So this little collaborative book we wrote through snail mail over a few years, and it's a lot about sonnets and bees. This is called Supple Trillium Lovelorn Louts. The opposite of a sonnet is tenos, eh? Two sonnets would be out tenoses, three would be earth, etc. When you land in the land of the sonnet, watch out for the barbed wire of conclusions. There are no warning signs. The whole area might be full of thorns, so you will know not to enter or even reform. I'm just saying a sonnet is a little room just big enough for a bear cub. He or she can't even turn around in it. If a sonnet is injured, you'll have to carry it on a stretcher. Be careful of the couplet or tail. If it is a baby sonnet, you can bring it home.
You say you were collaborating this via snail mail. I'm just curious to know how that worked between you two.
So we wrote letters. We talked on the phone. I wrote poems on my computer. She wrote them on her typewriter. We, you know, wrote through each other's work. We gave each other assignments. We figured out an order.
Wow.
A title. I mean,
this was really elaborate.
It was fantastic. It was great. Yeah. And it started with bees and sonnets, and it just continued. It's mostly sonnets, and there's wasps and hornets and pizza with figs and
well, she wrote
fiddlehead
that,
ferns.
That great book of sonnets that Tender Buttons did.
Yes, she's, sonnets.
Following in the New York school of
right
sonnets.
And whenever I don't know what to do, I'll go back to sonnets. So now I've written two books of sonnets, and I'm on to my third book of sonnets.
Has anybody ever sang your sonnets?
Well, there's one of them that I sang with my children when they were young because they wrote it with me.
Sweet.
But I don't have that with me. That's daily sonnets.
Of course.
Yeah.
All right, so you have
I have a handful of sonnets. So I wanted to read the very last sonnet in Amulet Sonnets, which, again, it's not out yet, but I finished that a few years ago because I just chose a few that I was thinking of Bernadette. Mother of All Sonnets. Language is only known to be alone. Only this breath on the page is any evidence of where I've been. Even though you could call me a stray filament hung on wind, even though I don't know how to read from elegy, it exhausts me in a pub, so I read to a sheep, entire scenarios of foliage, recalcitrant verbs in mouth. Come closer if you want to know. Droves of lines instruct without language. We met in a storm of mothers.
That seemed very like a very Bernadette.
It's very under the influence. And these new ones, the manuscript is tentatively titled Antediluvian Sonnets. Very under the influence of Bernadette. And again, written really, really recently.
I don't know what you'll think of this, but hearing that poem, I also reminded me of Leanne Brown.
That's great. I love
I could have heard her voice saying that a similar poem. But anyway, I know you, all three of you are close.
Yes.
Bernadette and Leanne, so it makes sense. Maybe I just wanted to.
And Leanne has an amazing book of sonnets called Sonics that hopefully will be in the world soon.
Oh, I didn't know. Very cool.
Yeah.
Sorry to interrupt.
It's okay. All right. Okay, I'll just read a few of these from Antediluvian Sonnets again under the Bernadette influence, and that's it. In the morning, open the damper, attend to sounds of blood, scoop as much ash as you can back into the ash can, or the idea of being done may be terrible, but unfinished works are worse. Rake the coals forward. What if this space were just free? Place two or three lines behind the embers. When bodies revolve from losses, make use of bellows. The way to carry fire, wood is evidence beyond words. Surveillance sonnet, or Surveillance sonnet. I like when you call it Radiance Day. Sorry about the wait. Despite frictionlessness, I began watching this show out of a predictably cosseted life, tepid surveillance of sooty glass, solitary midnight suns studded with snow-banked vehicles. Hey, where are you going? A season of mawkish stress, a proper sense of outrage, infiltrates the child of the woods need not be prey. It's not too late for signs, bullhorns, and noisemakers. What I don't know is unknown, sinking into the blaze by turns when books spoke elaborate fire. If every line contains a necklace of coals, will we be warmed by any other means? The temperature was single digits, then teens. Sleep is an unguent, not a complaint. If I reach for a book behind me, not to be compliant, but to remain flexible, a cup of tea taken to bed untouched. In the morning, I read one letter to compose myself and then proceed into the phrase. I edit my coffee with made-up games, less froth, more darkness, gestation to be concise, a non-consensual rendezvous with a nervous, continuous fountain, though I try to nurse this senseless lowercase self to rest. Less isn't listlessness, isn't optional. At this point, the early under hours of late post-reproductive non-identification, subdued, priceless nothingness. And finally, interrupting the season, which isn't only winter glow, brown patches and green is a memory you almost believe. A call about reality is coming from the sun, the thermodynamics of fire. Your feet remember every pattern when permitted to move apart from mind. There's a rehearsal right now for the removal of anything impervious, including the fear of remaining optimistic. I keep thinking the key is being alone long enough to collect laundry and clear bare earth and empty paper to begin, and the weariness of to begin is not Antarctica. I asked a simple measure of water, of cloth, of sound, and was given this blank aside. No, you can't talk yourself out. Instead, embrace the calamity of love.
Great. The endpoints of those poems seem just perfect somehow. Just like you launch, you have the delivery of the lines, and then it ends, and, you know, okay, I want to go now. So, but do you have a strategy? I mean, you say you go to the sonnets, you know, when you're not doing collage work to escape, you go to the, and you're not sick of language.
And I don't know what to do next.
You go to the sonnet, but do you have a strategy? Because obviously you're not writing in pentameter and...
No. I mean, the strategy is to, first of all, sonnets are short. Writing sonnets is addictive. If you haven't, you know, I have to say that as a warning for everybody listening. Like Norman Fisher once said to me once, he had no idea he'd written a whole book of sonnets. And usually I have no idea how much they just accumulate. I just try to invent time that doesn't exist, even if it's 5 minutes. So if you have a form that's short and you can write by hand in a notebook, it just doesn't seem daunting. You're drinking your coffee, you got 10 minutes, and I just don't think. I just sit down and to the page and I listen. And I feel in the immediate gravity of grieving, you know, there's just the listening, there's just a lot that comes through.
Well, that is really interesting. I mean, it's like, so you say you listen, but is this like a Spicerian dictation or something? You know what I mean? Like, you're listening to what the world says to you or saying to you or saying.
Yeah, or sometimes it's more precisely tuned, like I'm listening to what Bernadette is saying to me, or what my dad, who recently passed, is saying to me, or some other invisible entity that's hanging around, and I'm kind of inviting advice from non-mortals, from whatever is possible that is beyond the three-dimensional limitations that are very visible.
Wow, it's so great to hear the poems. And even though they're raw and untested or whatever you said, it was fabulous to hear them. And thanks for being on the program today. Time flies. We're already, I think we're already hit the end point for now anyway. But it's always, we've been lucky to see each other a few times in the past year. And it's good to be, you know, connected with Pen. Right on, Lainey. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
All right. This has been Poet Radio with Lainey Brown. Be well, everyone.
All right. Thus concludes this month's edition of Poet Radio. Certainly hope you enjoyed what you heard. We here at the station work hard to provide compelling, top-notch, not to mention eclectic programming. And we are known to do a good job at it. WGXC is a local treasure in the Mid-Hudson Valley, which also has international reach through our online streaming. If you value our programming, please do head on over to the website, wgxc.org, to sign up to be one of our sustaining supporters. It's an easy process, and your monthly contribution will definitely help us stay on the air, providing thoughtful, engaged content to everyone who hears us. We will greatly appreciate any donation you are able to make. Okay, until next time, take good care, and see you next month.